Support for this podcast comes from Hired. Hired empowers connections by matching the world's most innovative companies with the most ambitious tech and sales candidates. With Hired, companies can see what candidates want up front with visibility into competing offers and recruiting metrics. Hired's unique offering includes Hired assessments and diversity goals, a feature to more easily discover qualified underrepresented candidates. By combining technology and the human touch, Hired's goal is to provide transparency in the recruitment process and to empower each of their partners to employ their potential and keep their talent pipeline full. To learn more about how Hired can help you find your next great hire, go to hired.com/recruitingfuture. That's hired.com/recruitingfuture.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 478 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Talent intelligence is on the rise, with an increasing number of TA teams putting data at the core of their strategy. However, do employers genuinely understand the full potential of TI? How do you get started? And what's the business case for building a specialist resource? My guest this week is Toby Colshaw, talent intelligence leader at Worldwide Amazon Stores. Toby is one of the global pioneers of talent intelligence, having built TI teams at Philips and Amazon. He's also recently released his first book, Talent Intelligence: Use Business and People Data to Drive Organizational Performance. Suffice to say, this is a must-listen interview for anyone who wants to know more about the development of talent intelligence. Hi, Toby, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Please, could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Yeah, so Toby Colshaw. I lead talent intelligence at Worldwide Amazon Stores, which is essentially the Amazon business that we all know and love, Amazon.com, and all the mechanisms to get that to your door. So the airline business, the robotics, the warehousing, logistics, and then right through to everything associated with the retail business and anything you're going to buy from us. That's the world I inhabit and cover talent intelligence for.
Fantastic. So you've been a big figure in talent intelligence for quite some time. You've written a book on it, which we'll talk about. For people who aren't fully familiar with the concept, tell us what talent intelligence is and where it's come from and how it's developed.
Yeah. So the definition is still somewhat fuzzy of talent intelligence. And there's a few different variations going out there, which was one of the triggers for me to write the book. And I kind of cobbled one together from various different sources. And essentially, it's the augmentation of internal and external people data. And then you're applying some kind of technology or science, insights, intelligence to it to then help drive business decisions and business outcomes. Generally, you're going to be looking at things like the people, the skills, jobs, functions, competitors, geographies, that sort of thing. But it's essentially looking at labor market data to help the business, make the business have better decisions and de-risk the decisions they're making. It's relatively new in its current guise. The reason being, historically, and there's a couple of different guises to it, and we can talk through the differences there as well. But historically, the platforms from a tech side were very raw data driven. So if you go back 10, 15 years, you had to be fairly data savvy to be able to get these data sets and make sense of it. And you're basically looking at being a business analyst or a business intel engineer or an economist, etc. It was quite hard from a user interface. So the stickiness and the pickup was slow. Roll through another 10 years, and suddenly we had this next generation of labor market intelligence platforms. And that really lowered the bar in terms of barrier to entry, because the user interface was so much easier. And they were doing a lot of that heavy lifting, heavy work of analysis on their end. And that's really exploded things. you suddenly have platforms like MZ or Drop or Talent Neural or Stratagems, Horsefly, LinkedIn Talent Insights, obviously a big one for the masses. You know, there's a lot of these visualization tools and aggregation tools that are suddenly making it far more approachable and far more digestible. And then you had COVID kicking in and the surge in the economy through that period, which then as a concept really drove talent intelligence in a much, much more aggressive way. You suddenly saw it becoming a business priority. So historically, a lot of TI teams were formed within talent acquisition, and they were essentially sourcing intelligence on steroids. Essentially, some bits would tend more towards exec research, but generally, you're looking at that kind of sourcing intelligence piece ramped up a little bit. Through that COVID period, you saw a lot of teams pivot and say, well, actually, we can't affect the business enough by purely working at the requisition end of this journey. We have to get upstream. We have to get earlier into this decision phase and affect the strategy and the decisions so that we can actually make our lives easier downstream at a TA level. So through that period, you're seeing a lot of teams starting to pivot and move further upstream and earlier in that decision cycle.
And I suppose to dig into that just a little bit more, talk us through the business value that it creates. What type of decisions does it help with? What are the outcomes and the results that an employer would get from investing in talent intelligence?
Yeah, great question. So the offerings are somewhat similar from most teams. You're essentially going to have a core around location strategy. Obviously, location is becoming somewhat location agnostic, but at the same time, you do have location hotspots for talent. So location strategy is very, really big for most teams. You're looking at, on average, about 60 to 70% of most teams' work is around location in some way, shape, or form. Competitor intelligence, competitor insights, talent flow analytics, so understanding who's going where and why they're going there. D&I intelligence is a really big thing in all its forms and guises. Talent sentiment and what people are saying, why they're saying, what's the perception of you as a brand, as an organization, how's that landing in the marketplace? Really hot. We're doing a lot of work around future intelligence. So looking to 5 years plus out, what are the big trends that are going to impact us as a workforce that we need to start addressing ahead of time? And then I'm seeing much more so developing around recruitment marketing intelligence and persona insights, and obviously the actual spend and go-to-market campaigns, et cetera, as well. So that's ramping up. And then you have some teams that are cutting right into strategy and M&A and working with those teams to say, well, actually, if we're looking to land and expand this company or buy this company and expand it aggressively, is that even feasible? Is that possible? Are we about to buy a company that we can't expand because the skill set isn't in the market, or the location isn't correct for that, or that the leadership team has got a toxic reputation, so we're going to really struggle to hire the people in to expand in the way you want to do? So I think depending on the maturity of the function, you're seeing a slightly different product offering essentially, and who their customer base is internally. But by and large, it's anything to do with that external labor market data. And then what are your key drivers as an organization? What are you trying to achieve as an organization? And what's going to stop you from getting there? You know, if you ask any C-suite, what's your biggest asset? It's your people. If you say to them, what's the biggest risk for the future? It's not having access to the right talent. It's bringing that talent data to that decision point to say, okay, well, where are we trying to get to in the future? What's the risks we're exposed to, and how do we mitigate those risks?
And you mentioned that it was a function that perhaps had traditionally grown out of talent acquisition in the last few years. Where do you think does it naturally sit somewhere within the business? Is it within talent acquisition? Is it somewhere else, or does that sort of depend on the employer and their sort of priorities?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think honestly, there's a few directions this could go, and this is one of the elements we discussed in the book in the final chapter is the end future state. I think in terms of where the current state teams sit, current state, you see a lot of teams, as I say, within TA, some within exec recruiting, for two different reasons. TA, generally, you've got the pain point, you're feeling it on the ground, you've got the volume, so you're using labor market data to try and mitigate that, to try and solve some of those problems you're feeling on a short term. Exec research, you find it gets tied into there because they've generally got the relationships with the senior leadership team. So those decision points, whether it's competitor analysis, whether it's strategic guidance, etc., they've got essentially the route to customer, that route to market, because they've got those relationships with the senior leaders. interesting that on the Talent Intel Collective's benchmarking survey last year, although just over 70% of all TI teams sat within talent acquisition, over 80% thought that was the wrong function to be sat within. And they wanted to pivot out. Where they wanted to pivot to varied massively. You had some teams wanting to sit within HR analytics, people analytics. You had some teams wanting to sit directly up into the C-suite. You had some wanting to sit within ops or within strategy. So a huge variance within there. But when I look to the future, I think there's a few directions the function could develop. I think there's the overall merging of people analytics, HR analytics, and Josh Burson released something recently and was talking about this also, where you essentially see a combination of HR analytics, people analytics, talent acquisition analytics, talent management analytics, talent intelligence, all into this workforce intelligence type function. I think you actually refer to it as the talent intelligence function. I think it would probably be more accurate to say the workforce intelligence function as one centralized HR science team, essentially. I think personally that is probably the most likely route it will go. But I actually think the more interesting route is to say, well, actually, if we look at Intel as the offering, and it just happens that our Intel offering is aimed towards labor market and talent, you get some really interesting situations when you start merging talent intelligence work with, say, marketing intelligence or business intelligence or strategic intelligence. When you look at it as a centralized intelligence function and you didn't then have the sub-specializations within, you then look at competitor intelligence, for example, in a very different way. You know, you've got the marketing intel guys looking at the share of the market, the share of the wallet, the product offerings, et cetera. But then from a TI perspective, you can start looking at, okay, how are these companies pivoting? How are they changing their hiring needs? How is that an early predictor for what that company might be doing in the future? And how can that affect our market share or share of wallet? I think you can start doing some really interesting things when you start combining Intel functions across. So that's another route, is a centralized intelligence function. And then the third possibility, I think, could also happen slightly more optimistic in my mind, but I am incredibly biased. I could see a time where you have a talent intelligence function akin to a marketing intelligence function in a marketing org. You know, big Intel function that supports both at the strategic and the operational level. And I could see TI being a whole COE in of itself within organizations, where you have a talent management, talent acquisition, and talent intelligence. And it's a whole separate COE that's there to bring that science edge to the rest of the HR function and really be a COE in of itself.
One of the things that I've noticed, certainly over the last 12 months, is lots more employers, heads of talent acquisition, are talking about talent intelligence. So I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago. I saw sort of five or six presentations from global heads of talent acquisition. I think probably three or four of them mentioned talent intelligence as part of their strategy. So we're obviously seeing kind of, you know, raising awareness and more adoption and all those kind of things. In your book, you outline a kind of a maturity model, a path that the companies can sort of take with this or have taken with this. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I think is, before I will cover that, I'm not going to be a politician and dodge it, I will cover that. I think the other thing to note though is you see a lot of talent intelligence jobs advertised and a lot of people pushing talent intelligence. And when you dig into what it is, in my mind, it's essentially sourcing. It's emperor's new clothes. You know, we're calling it talent intelligence because it's a trendy thing to call it and it's hot topic, etc. But when you actually look at the key responsibilities and roles, you're seeing a lot of roles that are talent intelligence by name, but the job responsibilities are driving talent pipelines or creating long lists or doing talent mapping. That's all valuable work and it's incredibly important work. In my mind, that's close, that's sourcing intelligence. I think the purist in me for the TI side of things, it's more around how we're using that intel to drive a business decision and a business impact. And I think that also does tie into the maturity model, though, where you're seeing a lot of teams initially starting up these SI type roles and the sourcing type roles that are TI by name. But then as the people are starting to get into those roles and looking to develop, you do see the actual TI capabilities start developing throughout. So initially it might be an individual, and in the book I talk around the jack of all trades. You know, at first you're just trying to do anything. You're getting demand all over the place. As soon as you start to do anything from a labor market perspective, the business will snap it up, and because they haven't had this before, so it's super exciting. And I think you'll see this kind of initial scrappiness when you're a talent intelligence provider, just delivering the work, but you're trying to get across everything. And then as you develop and as the offering develops and matures, you end up going kind of through the problem solving, through insight generation. And what you really want to be is that TI trusted advisor. And you're really kind of working with the senior leaders as a trusted advisor to really drive business transformation, business change. I think there's some parallels also with HR analytics and maturity model. You know, you have a lot of in HR analytics, the core kind of maturity curve is you have manual reporting and automated reporting and dashboarding and forecasting, prediction, etc. I think there are some elements there that run across, and you do see that run through into TI. I think the big difference though is that HR analytics generally will go through that curve and look to have self-service as one of the core items. So you're hitting at scale on the self-service piece. And then as an aside, they're developing the consulting offerings to have more specialist deep dive. I think TI is generally moving in the opposite of that. So that, yes, we have some tooling, but most TI functions don't really want to push self-service as an offering because the data is so much more contextual. You know, if you look at location feasibility, yes, you might have the demand, supply, the comp data, etc. The reality could be the location might be the wrong side of a toll road. It might be that the location has really bad restaurants nearby. It might have a really terrible infrastructure and no bus stops or train stations. That sort of information is really hard to get into an automated self-service dashboard. So that human element, that human contextual element is really, really important. And so, the maturity curve, I think, is slightly different within TI, where you have some element of self-servicing, but just to scale and to make it accessible for many. But the highly consultative nature, that trusted advisor relationship, that I think that's really going to be where a lot of teams focus their time and energy. It's to really build out that relationship and build out the trusted advisor model.
You mentioned that the technology and the resources available have changed dramatically and have really sort of driven the development of talent intelligence. And, you know, you don't necessarily need to be a data scientist or an economist to be able to do this anymore. What skills do you need, though? If you were advising a head of talent acquisition, for example, on how they might develop a TI function, what kind of skills do you need to do that effectively?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think there's probably two different elements with this overall. There's going to be some hard and soft skills that you're going to need across. And you see that a lot with when we did the benchmarking study, there were teams that had certain skill sets they wanted to push. And, you know, initially it was data visualization and predictive analytics, data analytics, strategic consulting, data engineering, that sort of stuff. Skills they wanted to remove. Ironically, there were some bits around sourcing, there were some bits around workforce planning, ironically, some bits around data engineering, etc. I think the key for me, though, is more the technical skills, the hard skills you can train. Like I have no issues around that. The platforms are relatively straightforward. You have to have a data appreciation. You have to be comfortable with data, because wherever you go within the TI world, there is going to be data. So people have to be comfortable with data, comfortable playing with it. But you don't have to be data scientists. You just don't. You just have to understand what you're looking at. I think the core thing for me would be kind of the softer skills around things like problem solving, critical thinking, having creativity and innovation at your heart. There's a lot of this stuff is very new, and there isn't a well-trodden path. You're finding your new routes, you're creating new routes. So having that innovative thought process, tying in with that, dealing with ambiguity. You know, it's a very messy world out there from a TI perspective. Your business leaders don't necessarily know what questions they're going to be asking for. They don't really know the problem statements. They don't really know the data sources that are going to be available. You may not know what data source is available if you're going into new markets. There isn't a well-trodden path for this. So really being to work in that ambiguous space is really key. And then I think also for me personally, thinking big is really, really key. And that's an Amazonian piece. But being able to look at the work you're doing and saying, this is great, but how do I turn this project, this one-off project, into an ongoing program of work? Or how do I scale this so that rather than doing this work 10 times over for 10 different stakeholders, how do I build this into one program that's going to address all their needs on an ongoing basis? So looking for those mechanisms to try and solve future problems and get ahead of yourself rather than just solving for today, I think, honestly, the two biggest ones are proactivity and passion. Arguably some of the hardest to interview against, so it doesn't really help anyone, so apologies for that. But I think proactivity is really vital in the state of maturity TI is in. You have to be hungry. You have to push. Your stakeholders aren't going to necessarily know what this is, so you're going to have to be pushing with them. Your external, your broader customer base, if you're in TA, you might want to work with the business. They're not going to necessarily open the door for you immediately. You have to be proactive. You have to get out there. You have to push this stuff. You have to write papers that no one's asked for just to show the capabilities and the possibilities within TI. You have to really be very proactive and own your space and just run with it. And equally, you have to have a passion. You know, there's no one writing kind of set plays for this, you know, the odd paper here or there. People have to find their feet. They have to find their direction with this work. So you have to be passionate about it. You know, there's no one's going to give you a standalone TI team out of the box and say, here you go with it. You know, you have to be passionate and really fight for it.
So looking to the future, you've already talked about sort of structurally how TI might work in organizations moving forward and what some of the possibilities and the options are. In terms of what intelligence might be able to deliver for businesses, things that it can't do now, what are you looking forward to be able to do in the future?
Do you know what? Some of it I think is going to be relatively straightforward, but exciting. So I think at the moment, most organizations have a fairly decent handle on their internal data, and they're getting a better handle on the external data. It's still messy. You know, there's still lots of data points that are confusing and taxonomies that are confusing. And, you know, the overall TI landscape is still, you know, hard to unpick sometimes. But it's getting better. You know, they're getting data sets, they're getting data points, it's starting to work together. I think short term, what I'm most excited about is bringing the internal and external much closer together from a data perspective. So, for example, if you're seeing your employer brand or your sentiment data is terrible in a certain location, how does that compare with your internal employee engagement scores? How does that compare with your talent acquisition metrics? How are the funnel conversions happening through that location? What's the referral rate looking like in that location? Is that increasing your cost per hire because the toxic brand externally is meaning you're not getting applications? The toxic management means you're not getting any referrals coming in, so you have to go to agency, so your cost per hire is going up. So suddenly you're going for looking at things much more holistically. Or is your attrition rate spiking because your brand is terrible and everyone's leaving and there's no one coming back in? Because so you've got this huge attrition issue, which means your recruitment process is slowing down because there isn't anyone to do the interviews, et cetera, et cetera. Like combining the internal data sets with the external into a holistic view, I think super exciting. And I think that's going to give us some very different perspectives. Tied into that also, I think, is using that human capital data in with business facing data. So mentioned the marketing intelligence earlier and tie in with those other functions to say, okay, what are you trying to achieve at an organizational level? And how does this work together? I think overall, when I look to the future of the function, I'm super excited where it's going. But I think that's also the point where I'm thinking we have a moment in history at the moment where we get to control the evolution of talent intelligence. There's very few functions where you get that moment in history to really set the standard of what this function could be. And I think we're at that moment in time now. I think we're at a moment where we can look at TI and say, well, do we want to be sourcing intelligence? Do we only want to support TA? Do we want to tie in with strategic workforce planning and really give that the external lens and the external firepower to look much more strategically to the future? Do we want to be a strategic function tying in with strategy and M&A or real estate and global strategy, et cetera? We're at that moment in time where we get to control that. And we get to control that narrative and build for the future. I think it's important we take that, because if we don't, either it won't happen and you'll see TI revert back and almost pull within its shell and become much more towards sourcing intelligence again, and particularly, you know, tough economic times at the moment. As that market switches back on and companies are super aggressive in hiring again, it would be very easy for TI to retract back and go into sourcing intelligence mode, because you have to get those hires. You have to get those names generated. How are we going to find those candidates? So I think it'd be very easy to get to pull back into that SI world, which, as I say, it's still very super important. I think it's a really important function. I don't think it's necessarily where TI should be heading. So I think we're at an interesting crossroads at the moment. And I think the overlay also, you know, before we jumped online, we were talking about kind of different work methodologies. You've got things like the metaverse kicking in. And I think with that comes a whole different type of TI and a whole different type of labor market intelligence and strategic workforce planning. Are you looking at individuals? Are you looking at skill sets? Are you looking at units of labor? Are you looking at RPA and outsourcing or offshoring? Like, all those types of models and that creative way of thinking about work and how work is done, I think we're at a prime crossroads to help with that for the business.
Final question. Tell us about the book. What's it called? Who's it written for? And where can people find it?
Yeah, so it's a fairly straightforward name, Talent Intelligence. And then the subtitle, Using Business and People Data to Drive Organizational Performance. You can buy it usual suspect places, really. So Amazon, obviously Google page, website. Anywhere you buy a book should hopefully be available. It's really aimed at people that want to set this stuff up and set a good foundation. Some of the elements of it, we get into slightly more advanced TI type work, but really it's aimed at people that are saying, I want to set this up. I don't really know what it is. I don't really know who to ask. I don't know what's out there to read. So this will give you that really good foundation in place of, this is what a TI function is. This is where it came from. This is how you set it up. These are the systems, processes, tools to look at. This is the structure. These are the sorts of things you need to think about in terms of if you're doing an intake meeting, what could that form look like? What sort of questions should you be thinking about? Right through to the maturity curve and the sorts of skills to have within the function, what sort of career path you could expect within the function, etc. So hopefully it should give a really good foundation, whether it's somebody within talent acquisition, whether it's somebody within HR, whether it's somebody within the business that's thinking, actually, I need a better handle on my human capital intel here. Yeah, hopefully it should give people a handle to get started and set some functions up.
Toby, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
My thanks to Toby. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future, and on TikTok, where you can find us by searching for Recruiting Future Pod. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to receive the new monthly podcast newsletter and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years' experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app, or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.